My name is Alan Morse, and I'm going to visit with you today about a very important subject. It is called the body of Christ. This is the church. This is the church that God is going to call out for his people after he walks away, after being totally rejected by the Jewish community as their Savior and as the Messiah. And so he decided to set them aside, and he was going to call out a whole new church, and it's going to be called the body of Christ, and Jesus Christ himself is the head of this church, and all the members are parts of the body, and the members are people who believe in the gospel. And the gospel is that Christ died for your sins, and he was buried, and he rose again, and all you have to do is believe that, and God will take it from there. And he will do mighty things with this church and mighty things with the people. But this is the church that Christ has called out. And he's going to use the apostle Paul to be the apostle of the Gentiles. Let's turn into the book of Acts. That's just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Acts. And we're going to turn to chapter 9. The book of Acts, chapter 9. This is a story of Paul's conversion and Saul. Saul will be Paul. He'll change his name to Paul because of what he had been doing for all the years. People were scared of the name of Saul. So when I mix them up, I don't mean to, but right now he is called Saul, who will be Paul. Anyhow, this is his conversion, and he was on the road to going to Damascus, and he was going to capture all the people, the Jews. He was dealing with Jews, capture the Jews that believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and then take them back in chains, back to Jerusalem, and put them in prison where they eventually would be killed. And all of a sudden, in verse 4, we see that Jesus talks to Paul. After a great light will come down upon Paul and knock him to the ground, the light of the God, our Savior, will knock him to the ground, and he will say, "Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me?" And then he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." In that minute, Saul understood that Jesus was the Messiah. We turn over to chapter 9, just go move over to 15 and see what Jesus is going to do with this man. He was talking to Ananias, and Ananias was a believer that he was the Messiah, and he told him to go get him and touch him and heal his eyes. He was been blinded for 3 days and had no food or drink for 3 days, and he told him to go to him and touch his eyes and heal him, help him. And so he said, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel." This is verse 15. "He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear the name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him the great things he must suffer for my name's sake." This man, this is the first time that Jesus really, this is when he started, when he went to the Gentiles. And he was going to take this person by the name of Saul, who would be turned by the name Paul down the road, to go to the Gentiles. You see, today's church believes that Jesus went to the Gentiles before that, and he never did. He came here only for the lost sheep of Israel. But he knew that this day was going to come and he was going to go to the Gentiles. But during the time he walked on this earth, he could not go to the Gentiles because he came only to the lost sheep of Israel. And let me prove it to you. Let's turn to Matthew. Turn to Matthew. We go back to the left. We go to John, and we go to Luke, and then we go to Mark, and then we go to Matthew to the left. And we're going to go start at chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. This is the this is the chapter where Jesus calls out his disciples, and he's got from 1 through 4, of all the names of the disciples, the 12 disciples that he chose. But we're going to start at verse 5. Matthew 10, verse 5, and it said, the 12, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not unto the way of the Gentiles, but and into any city of the Samaritans enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Gentiles have nothing to do with the house of Israel. A Gentile is any person that's not a Jew. Any person who is not a Jew. But he came only to the Jews in the house of Israel. But he commanded them, do not go into the way of the Gentiles or to any city of the Samaritans. Now, Samaritans were a city of half, they called them half-breeds. They were half Jews and half Gentile. He didn't even go to them. And so we see that Jesus came only to the house of Israel. Now, we're going to go to chapter 15 to prove that. This is what he told the disciples to do. Now, let's see what he does himself. We'll go to chapter 15. Let's go on to the right to the chapter 15. And we're going to start with 15:22. And this is where he's going to show exactly what he believes for himself also. And he says, and behold, a woman of Canaan. Now, this is a Gentile woman, came out the same borders, and he cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. But he answered her not a word. He didn't pay one bit of attention to her. See, she was a Gentile. He couldn't deal with Gentiles at this time. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not. Now he said, I. Now this is Jesus. I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's just as plain as day. And the churches of the so-called churches today base all of their teachings on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is the Christ walk on this earth, that we're supposed to follow his instructions for our way of life or for our salvation. And this isn't the case. He wasn't talking to us when he's told us that we should believe in him. He was talking to the Jew only. And it goes on to say, then she came back and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Who are the dogs? The Gentiles. The Gentiles. You see, Jesus came on this earth. Number one was to fulfill the prophecies for him being the Messiah, the Christ. And he did. Totally. He came also to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant for the nation. And it was the Abrahamic covenant to deal only with Israel and the Jews. So it goes on and he said, truth, Lord, she said, yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made well from that very hour. But he didn't want to. She got him in a corner. But he said, I don't go only to the house of Israel. Now we see two things there. We see number one, when he started in Acts, now he's going to the Israel. He's going to choose Paul or Saul to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He always knew he was, but he couldn't do it because of the fact he came only to the Jews at this time. Now he's going to go to us, the Gentiles, anybody that's not a Jew. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, go to the right. Romans chapter 1, we're going to the right. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then we're going to get Acts. and then the Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, he says, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, who is to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. You see, he is apostle now. He has been chosen as apostle. Because he's going now, he is going to the Gentiles, and he's separated to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel that Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again. That's the gospel. Let's look at Romans chapter 11. Keep on going to the right. Romans 11, and look at verses 13. Romans 11, verses 13, it says, "For I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." He was appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is going to be the head of this church. There's no doubt. But this body of Christ is going to be, the apostle is going to be Paul, and he's the one that's going to tell us and show us what we must do to be a member of this church. Let's look at, now what is God going to do with the Jew at this time? Well, we're going to see that right here in Romans chapter 11. Let's look down to verse 7. It says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which she seeketh, but the election hath obtained it." Who's the election? That was the Peter, James, and John, the apostles, and all the people that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. That was the election. He said, they attained it. But the rest were blinded. How many is that? See, there's less than one half of 1% of the people, Jews, accepted Christ as the Messiah. But the rest were blinded. And it says, "As according to God hath given them a spirit of slumber, eyes that should not see, and ears that should not hear, until this day." And as to this day today, it's the same thing. Just move up one page up, and we're going to go to verses 25. Verses 25 in 11. Romans 11, 25. It says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel." Until, that's a time word. It's going to until what? The fullness of the Gentiles become in. In other words, to the fullness of the body of Christ. When the body of Christ has its last member, that's when God's going to take out the body of Christ off this earth, and what we call the rapture. That's when Jesus is going to come and meet us in the air, and we're going to go to be with him, and he's going to take us off of this earth, and then he's going to deal with the Jews and all the unbelievers, every one of them. So we start in Galatians chapter 1. We're going to turn to Galatians chapter 1 now. We got Romans, and then we got 1st and 2nd Corinthians. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then we have Galatians. And chapter 1, and we're going to see when Paul became a believer at the road in Damascus, he went right up and he preached at the synagogue. But he preached, only thing he knew was Christ was the Messiah at that time. But they didn't believe him. They didn't accept him. And they were going to kill him. And they set guards at the entrance and exit of Damascus, a walled city. And when he left, they were going to kill him. So the believers that believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Jews that believed that, they caught wind of this. And so they let him down in a basket at middle of the night in the dark, down the wall, so he didn't go out of interest, so he wouldn't be killed. And then a great decision was made. You would thought he would have gone right up to join Peter, James, and John, because he was a believer of Christ was the Messiah, just like they were. But he didn't go that way. The Holy Spirit sent him just the opposite direction, and he sent him to Arabia, in the Mount Sinai area. Some people think it was even on the mountain where Moses got the Ten Commandments, but we don't know that for a fact. But anyway, he went to Arabia, and we see that in verse 17. Galatians chapter 1, 17, he says, "Neither when I went up to Jerusalem to them who were the apostles before me, but I went to the Arabia and then returned back to Damascus after 3 years. What did he do in Arabia? And this is where he met the Lord Jesus Christ the second time. This is where Christ laid out the beginnings and telling him about the church that we're talking about today, called the body of Christ. And this is totally different. I mean, they're set totally aside from Judaism. They have nothing to do with Judaism. This church is based on one thing and virtually one thing only, and that's to believe the gospel. And the gospel, like I said before, was that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That was the gospel for this body of Christ. That is salvation for the body of Christ. And this is what Paul preached all the time that he was, the rest of his life. He preached the gospel. And this was the gospel for salvation for this body of Christ. We find that as soon as you believe the gospel, God takes over. He takes over. There's not a list of things we got to do. God does it all. He seals you with the Holy Spirit. He baptizes you into this body of Christ that we're talking about. Not a water baptism. This is a spiritual baptism. And nobody belongs to this church unless they believe the gospel. And there's no unbelievers in the body of Christ. Now let's look at Galatians chapter 5. We're in Galatians now. Just turn over to chapter 5. And we'll see where Paul says, he said, now his name's Paul, and he says, stand fast therefore in the liberty with which Christ has made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, don't add anything to your salvation, to the gospel for your salvation. And they were the Judaizers. These were people who were Jews that believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but they were Jews. And they would go to the churches and say, well, you believe in Jesus, we believe in Jesus, but you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. Or you have to keep the law in order truly to be saved. And these people were coming into church, and Paul, boy, he jumped on them hard. And he says, if you do these things, Christ will have no, will shall profit you nothing. He said, and you can read that on in the first few verses. Christ will be of no effect for you, and you will fall in from grace. You see, you add nothing to it. Well, obviously we're not involved in circumcision or the law today, but people add many things to their salvation. They say you got to be baptized in order to be saved. You got to join a church in order to be saved. You got to pay your tithe in order to be saved. They go on and add to that. You don't add anything to it. When Christ died on that cross, he said it's finished, and it was finished, and the gospel was what we were supposed to look to for our salvation. Not we're looking to Jesus, we're looking to what Jesus did. That he died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's our salvation. And this is the salvation for the body of Christ. Give you an idea. Excuse me. Excuse me. We're looking at Galatians chapter 5, and we also find in, we won't turn to it, but in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, we find out what we're not of. It says, we're not under the law. This new church is not under the law. Jesus was telling this. Jesus is the head of our church. There's no doubt about that. He is the head, and we're the body. He's the head, and we're the body. But we do not involve the law anymore. There were 613 laws that they had to deal with. It's just ridiculous. It says we're not of temple worship. We're not involved in temple worship. We're not involved in circumcision. We're not involved in the Sabbath day. You see, we don't have a particular day. We really don't. The church has decided to call Sunday our day, but it could have been Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. In fact, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and he will when you believe the gospel, every day is a day that we worship the Lord. It's just every day. Every day the Lord is walking with us, and he's drawing us closer to him each and every day. We don't have dietary laws. We don't have yearly sacrifices. We don't have the tithe. We just don't have Judaism. were not involved in Judaism ever again. Ever again. So, what about this body of Christ? We know that as soon as we believe the gospel, now that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, write that down, that's the most important verse in the Bible. And that is the key to being a member of the body of Christ. You don't believe that Christ died for your sins and he was buried and he rose again for your salvation, you're lost. Because only people who are in the body of Christ are going to heaven. Only the people who are in this church that God has called out and he is the head. And people have to believe in the gospel to be saved. And as soon as you believe the gospel, it talks about in Ephesians chapter 1:13, it states that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're sealed with it. You see, this is something that the church today doesn't understand at all. And that's why the church is so messed up, because their believers aren't saved, because they don't believe the gospel. And they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't even have a clue what the Holy Spirit is. Oh, they think they do, but they don't. You see, they think we've got to do something in order to prove that we're saved. Some churches, they tell you, you have to be baptized. That proves you're saved. Man, if they realize what the Holy Spirit is, you don't have to prove that anybody's saved if they have the Holy Spirit. They're a walking testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of their life. Because God is actually living in them. You see, all these rest of the people are still in their old sin nature, and they're still fighting it. They cannot understand the Word of God. They don't have a clue. But when you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, you have Him living in you, God. And like I said, this Spirit is in us. He dwells us. And this Spirit that is in us, you can see this in Romans chapter 8, verses 11. The Spirit that is in you, that which you're sealed with, is the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is living in you, and that Spirit in you will raise your mortal bodies from the dead also. You see, we don't have to worry about death. The second we die, our soul and spirit is going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that soul and spirit isn't just something just floating around up there. It's viable. It can talk. It can see. It got hands. It's got legs. It's going to be something. It's not going to be our glorious body, but it's going to be a body that will suffice until we get our new body at the resurrection. But we're not going to be just a blob up there in heaven, a soul and spirit. We're going to be able to talk. You can read this in Luke chapter 16. In Luke 16, where Lazarus died, and he went to paradise, and then the rich man died, and he went to hell. They actually talked back and forth, and they knew each other. They saw each other, and they saw Abraham down there, and they talked to Abraham. Your soul and spirit is going to be alive, so you're not going to ever die. The second you stop breathing, you're going to be with the Lord in heaven. Not in paradise, but in heaven. It's just remarkable. And then we're going to be called, we go on down to Romans chapter 8:14. It says, we're going to be called sons of God. And if we're sons of God, we're heirs of God. And if we're heirs of God, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Think about that. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, most of the church don't understand it. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And as Son of God, He created this heavens and the earth. He created all the heavens and all the earth and everything on the earth. And He created them all, and they were all created for Him. They were created by Him and for Him, and we become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If Warren Buffett came to me and says, I'll give you $1 billion right this minute if you'd walk away from the gospel, I would laugh and I'd say, you got to be kidding. $1 billion isn't worth one dirty red penny, one dirty penny compared to what God has in store for us. It's just beyond our imagination. You see, because we have this Holy Spirit in us, because Jesus died for our sins, that's why we're saved. If he hadn't died, we'd still be in our sins, and that's why we're looking to what he did and not who he is. We're looking for what he did, and he did it. He died for our sins, and when he did that, we can stand before God. In Colossians chapter 1, 22, verses 22, he says, we are become holy. We become unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Think about that. How we've sinned in our life and we turn our back on him, but we're going to be held totally holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. It's just totally beyond our imagination what God has in store for us. We can say in Romans 1:16, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. Think about that. I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel. It's the power of God unto the for the gospel, if you believe the gospel. It just blows your mind, but the world don't understand it. The world truly don't understand it. And it's just belief. All we have to do is believe, and God takes it from there. It doesn't make any difference if you're a dopey, if you're a drug dealer, if you're an alcoholic, if you're a liar or a thief or anything. I don't care how bad off you are as far as sin in your life. It doesn't make any difference. The second you believe the gospel, it'll turn you around. God will come into you and make a whole new person of you. Totally whole new. Totally new. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you open the minds of these people. Every person I'm talking to, that the mind will be open, that they would receive the gospel for their salvation. Receive that gospel, and they'd receive that Holy Spirit, and they would become a part of this body of Christ. That body of Christ that is headed by Jesus Christ. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.